the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. And we've been coming together now for this online meditation retreat. It started on the 20th of March. Today it's the 27th. So this is the 8th day of us training in Dhamma and training our minds. So with the training of our minds like this, that we don't just do this within these 8 days of this retreat, but after this finishes, we need to be training our minds by ourselves as well. The things that we've studied about, we've come to know in this time together, we take those and put them into practice. And take them with us into our lives, practice them further. And so may you have mindfulness and wisdom. May this grow, may it advance. And may you carry on cultivating the paramis, the spiritual perfections within your hearts. So if you do this a lot in this life, and then perhaps you'll see the Dhamma in this life as well. But if that doesn't happen, then the merit and these spiritual qualities that you've created will follow you and become causes and conditions for the future. And then when you come to practice again, and not long, you'll understand the Dhamma. So the merit, the goodness that we create, it gives us happiness in this life and in the next life. But for those who haven't practiced before, then in this life it takes a lot of time. If someone has built up a lot of funds of spiritual qualities in previous lives, then it doesn't take them long to practice and to reach peace. Maybe just 5 years they'll see the Dhamma. That's if their bhārami has reached that level. But whatever the case, in this life, do it to your fullest. And after this online retreat finishes, that we don't finish, but we practice further. So we do this a lot, develop it a lot. And so the merit, the spiritual qualities that we've done already, that we've trained in already, that they help us out. You can say it's like having certain skills or abilities. So maybe we learn how to drive a car, and we can drive all different kinds of vehicles. We can drive pickups, and we can drive trucks, we can drive tractors, or just normal cars. You can use manual gear and automatic gear. We're skilled at all these different kinds. But then we go through a period of not using that skill, of not driving. And after 40 years, we forget. Or maybe we learned how to drive a plane before, fly a plane, but then we don't use that and we forget how to do it. But when we start training in that again, start using that skill again, then in not long, just 10 days, 15 days, we'll begin to remember how to do it again. Because this is something that we've trained in before. Or Ajahn Chah, he gave an easy comparison. It's saying that someone learns how to sew and is skilled at sewing, but then they forget how to do it. However, when they pick it up anew, then they can learn that skill again very quickly. It doesn't take them a long time. So therefore, really set your heart on this practice, because what you're doing, it doesn't go to waste. It's not in vain, but rather it stays within your own heart. And there's a question that was asked, which is how does one know whether or not one was a Sotapanna in one's past life? And so it is possible to know this, that if in this life you practice the Dhamma and in no long time the nature of the Dhamma appears clearly for one, without thinking that that was going to happen. All it takes is just listening to the Dhamma. You can see into anatta, not self, see emptiness, is joy, happiness that stays for a long time, see into this nature of change, of inconstancy. And what that shows is that you've already done a lot of things in the past, have these old accumulations, that we've already passed this point before, we've seen it before. But having died, then one forgets. However, being born again and then seeing suffering again. And then seeing suffering, one searches out a path to freedom from suffering. That there's a lot of faith there from what we've done already. And a great devotion and sincerity to the practice that comes up. But if this hasn't happened for us, and I mean, really, there's no need to be thinking, was I a Sotapanna in the past, a stream enter in the past or not? Just take it in terms of this life, do it a lot in terms of this life. Standing, walking, sitting, lying down, have a lot of mindfulness there. But don't be hot-hearted, don't be impatient. Rather, when we practice, we do so with a sense of letting go. And before, when I listened to Ajahn Chah say this, say practice and let go at the same time, I realized that it's because if we attach to things, then that will create chaos. If we want to have, we want to be, then that will be chaotic for us. So when we practice, we do it for the sake of letting go, of putting down. Because if we're carrying something, then that's going to be a burden for us. So we carry a heavy object around. And we are the ones that carry this. But if we toss it aside, then there's a lightness that appears, a lightness of body and mind, isn't there? And so there's this carrying then in our hearts. There's the attachment there, there's becoming and birth, and this gives rise to suffering. So when we practice, what we're doing is we're abandoning heavy things, we're putting them down. That we have this clinging to a sense of self, and that's a heavy burden for us. So we need to be very composed, very, very cautious. And this is even more so for this present day and age. It's even more the case for us because we're able to know about so many different things, to receive huge amounts of sense impressions. Everything that goes on in the world, we're able to know about those things. And each time we know about this, then there's a sense of self that appears. And this is chaotic. The amount of peace that we experience is already very small. But when we come to know of all these things, receive all these sense impressions, then our hearts just can't come into peace. And these impressions, they enter into the heart, greed, hatred, and delusion comes up within the heart. And so in this present day, the communication that we have, it's very fast. So therefore we need to be really cautious about this and know how to train ourselves around these things. It's like how the Buddha, in one of the suttas, he talked about a jackal and a tortoise. And this jackal comes upon the tortoise, and the tortoise draws in its head and its legs, and no danger can come to it then. So when we have this caution, a drawing in within the heart, caution around receiving any sense impressions, then when we do receive some, then the heart doesn't become chaotic because we have mindfulness protecting it. So we practice like this. It's like one of the venerable senior monks. He gave the simile to being like a termite mound. And we close off the holes to that mound. And so we close off our eyes, our ears, our nose, our body, our tongue, and we just know at the heart. And when the kilesas, the defilements, they come up in the heart, then we're able to see them. So this is what we're doing when we train in samadhi. So we're closing our eyes, our ears don't hear sounds, but there's still chaos within the heart. You still think without stop. And so if this is the case, then the effort that we're putting in, it's not giving results because the mind is still restless and scattered. It's like we're going fishing in a pond that doesn't have any fish. And we can fish all day, all month, all year, can fish there for our whole lives, and we'll never catch anything. So the meaning of effort is that it brings up peace as well. So we have effort to abandon any unskillful states that have arisen, the effort to not allow unarisen, unskillful states to arise, the effort to give rise to skillful states, and the effort to nurture, nourish further skillful states that have already arisen. And this is what we call right effort. So if the effort that we're putting in is not correct, however, then we won't succeed. We won't get results. So we need to have mindfulness. And the more mindful we are, the closer we come to the Buddha. So this mindfulness is sati, is recollection. And there's sampajanya, this clear, full comprehension. And panya, wisdom, it's a thorough, all-round knowing of sankharas, of conditioned phenomena. So sometimes people ask, well, the wisdom to see the Dhamma, what is that like? And what that is seeing the truth of nature, which is already here. Really, the Buddha taught us about things which are already present. It's just that we don't see them. We see them, but not clearly. Because all of us have physical things. We all have mental phenomena, don't we? So we come to have this mindfulness here, looking at our body. And if our minds are still, then we'll see that they're not me. And so wisdom then can arise. But if the mind is not still, then we'll see all of it as being me. We'll think in terms of me, take all of this as a self. And we just can't figure it out. We can't use our thoughts to figure not self out. Like all the blood in this body, we attach to all of that as being me, and this is what delusion tells us. So in this case, the Magga, the Noble Path, it's not able to win out over this. That the wisdom that comes out through that thinking, it's not able to break through. Therefore, we need to train in samadhi. So when we're meditating using a kamatana object, meditation object, there's no need to doubt about that. Whether we're reciting Buddha, Dhammo, Sangha, whether we're watching the breath, Well, whatever posture, standing, walking, sitting, lying down, we're maintaining our mindfulness there, that all of these work. So there's no need to doubt about it, rather just do it. And one day your mind will become peaceful, become still, joy will arise, and it will be relieved of its doubts. There will be a great contentment and fullness of heart. But then what can happen here is that we can want to gain arahantship, full awakening, very quickly. That we want to just attain. We need to be careful here. We need to have respect for our teachers. As they tell us, oh, contemplate the body. Take this mind to investigate this body first. This is something that's really important. Don't just pass over this. That watch your mind when the defilements of greed, hatred, and delusion arise. Know them, but come back to this body and contemplate here. Because this is what our hearts really cling to. They really attach to this body. So we come back, we contemplate the nature of this body. You see it in many different ways we can do that. We can contemplate in terms of Asubha being something unattractive. We can pull it apart into its different aspects, different parts. We can look at the elements, so like the fire element, for example, and see the stream or the flow of the fire element throughout the body. We'll do that for the others, for earth, water, air. See the anatta there, the not-self there within it. Or when the mind has come together already and it has this samadhi, then this wisdom can come up all by itself as well. And wherever it is that we're attached to within the body, the mind will go to that point, investigate it, and destroy that attachment right there. So it's possible for this to happen. It can happen in a way that we wouldn't have thought that it would come up like this. So put in your efforts. Recollect how life is not sure, but death is sure. These 8 days of this retreat have passed by already, and our lives have already passed by many years already. Maybe 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Some people 70 years, 80 years. This has gone by very quickly. And the Buddha said it's like a drop of dew on the tip of a blade of grass. And just this tiny drop there. And when the sun comes up and the heat of its rays hits that dew, then it evaporates very quickly. And so the lives of people are just like this. 80 years, 90 years passes by in no long time. If we just look, just day by day, it feels like it's a long time. But if we look back upon the time that's passed already, these 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years that have passed by already, it's gone by very quickly. And if we just get lost a little bit, and just get, just kind of lose track of this a bit, then the rest of our time, these 80 years, 100 years, just goes by in a flash. So therefore, it's not long. And in the time that we do have, we need to be seeking out wealth together. So there's the external wealth that we gain, and this is for us to be able to live our lives. But there's also internal wealth. This is something that we should be creating, and it's very important. Should be seeking out this wealth. The wealth of generosity, the wealth of virtue, the wealth of cultivating mindfulness, samadhi, panya. we should be developing all of these, to be walking this path a lot, developing this a lot. Do this a lot, cultivate it a lot, this noble path. And if we do this, then the mind will settle into peace. It will gain wisdom, it will gain right view. We'll be able to gain insight, this clear seeing. So if we have effort and sincerity, then it's not above our efforts, and it's not above our forbearance either. If we carry on, then we need to know the Dhamma and see the Dhamma for sure. And this is something that Ajahn Chah really emphasized in his teachings. So when we have mindfulness observing the mind, and we're aware of whatever appears within it, and we try to put things down. When we come to meditate, we try to put down all of our communication technology. And so some people, when they do a retreat, then they determine that they won't use any of this technology. And they feel really light and at ease. So we need to find time in our lives when we stop this, when we don't use this. And we use it, because outside of a retreat, we do need to use it some, but we use it just in terms of what's necessary. And don't be sending your mind out, because the mind that is sent out is the cause for suffering. This is samudaya. So need to have mindfulness here at the mind, to be composed. And by doing this, we're walking the marga, we're walking this noble path. So when we carry on practicing like this, we do this each day, each week, each month, each year, then the mind will need to settle into peace. And we need to find a way to bring that about. And so, like, you can chant, for example, and just chant a lot, go through this a lot, in these skillful means, chanting itipiso 108 times, for example. And in the space of one day, we can chant this for many rounds. And we just keep chanting it. And as we do that, then over the space of a year, may chant itipiso 40,000 times. 2 years, 84,000 times. We just carry on chanting until it's really there within our hearts, until we learn it by heart. And so we need a goal for our practice as well. So we can set that goal, maybe 84,000 rounds. But what's important is that when we chant, we're chanting with mindfulness as well. And so this brings benefit, these practices that we do. Does bring good results for our hearts. So we chant this, but if that's not kind of working for us, then we can just recite Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha, that's okay. Or we can contemplate all things are empty and recite that as well. Everything is empty, everything is empty. That's suitable for people who like wisdom. Because for them, if they just recite Buddha, then their brains might become quite foggy. So they can contemplate how everything is not self. Everything is always changing, it's inconstant. So nicca, dukkha, anatta, which are the objects for vipassana, for insight. So there's no need to doubt about any of that. When there's a feeling of liking, we tell ourselves it's not sure. Disliking, we say it's not sure. Attraction, aversion, love and hate, we say this is all not sure. And this will give great energy to our minds. We'll be able to see clearly how everything that comes up is not sure. So this way is the way of wisdom developing samadhi. And then when samadhi comes up, then we can return to wisdom again, contemplate into this nature of things not being sure, and the mind becomes very bright, becomes very full. So train like this each day and really set your hearts on this.